Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards at Veritas Medical. Our website is veritasmedical.com. We record and archive all our shows and put them on there. So go check that out on the podcast archive page under resources, specifically the testimonials. Those are some of the most popular and I believe most beneficial shows that we do are patient testimonials. And we're doing another one today. Very special guest we have with us today, Madon Wingo, and she's got an amazing story. I have a feeling it's going to have to be split to part one and part two because there's a lot there. But it's all good. It's amazing how the body can fix itself if you give it what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. And as we'll hear about today, sometimes those things are physical things the body needs and doesn't need, and sometimes they're beyond the physical that the body needs and doesn't need. So, you know, we're more than just a physical body. We're a spirit housed in the body, and we have a soul, and all three need to be stewarded and ministered to. I believe that's what my experience and just my belief and conviction is. So I think you'll hear that today as we get into this testimonial. Just real quick announcements. We'll be putting a calendar of events up on the website soon, hopefully this week actually, so you don't have to remember all these different events, but we'll have a class pretty much weekly, I think, at the Merck upstairs. We're doing Nutrition 101 and Hydration 101, Movement 101, Peace 101. I'll be doing that Peace Talk the 24th, it's next Tuesday, I believe that's at 7 o'clock, but we should have the calendar up on our website by then, so you'll check that out. And I think that's it on announcements. Okay, we're going to jump right into it. Madon Wingo from Sweetwater. Lovely lady that I met, her and her husband, August 24th, 2022 was the first visit. She has six beautiful children, lives down in Sweetwater, and is finishing up midwifery school. Going to be an amazing midwife. And she loves Jesus, as you'll hear. Madon, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Ben. I love it. I don't have to introduce myself. That was a great introduction. Works wonderful.
Well, feel free to add anything you want. I've really enjoyed getting to know you and your husband and some of your kiddos, too, over the last few months. And kind of can't believe it was August 24th, just a few months ago, that we met. So much has happened, as we're about to hear. It seems like a lifetime ago, almost. But I'm going to quit talking because you've got a lot to say. I'll chime in here and there, but really just want to remind everybody these testimonials are for encouragement. And so if you're battling or dealing with any kind of illness right now or symptom or just struggling with life in general, even the point of these testimonials is not to build up Veritas or point to any of the practitioners or myself. It's to point and give the glory back to the Creator, the one who made this body. We just believe it was amazingly designed, and if you steward it, it should function, should be healthy, symptom free. I don't believe God put symptoms on us. I think there are consequences to this fallen world we live in and the free will we have and decisions we make and others make. There's amazing redemption and freedom in the truth. So I just encourage everyone out there to just keep pursuing the truth. God loves you and he does not intend for you to be sick. All right, Madon, I don't want to get on my soapbox yet, so why don't you just kick it off with really wherever you want to start. You have an amazing life story, really, and I think probably to get the whole picture, probably need to go back a little ways, but as far as you want to go back and as much detail as you want to give and share, you've got the floor, so why don't you just share your story with us?
Sure, thank you. Yeah, it's hard to believe that so much has happened in the last few months. If you look on the calendar, not too much time has gone by, but wow, it feels like so much has changed and life has, God has been so good that it just is like, oh, it really was only a few short months ago that I came to see you and that, you know, was the catalyst for a lot of things. I think starting at the beginning is probably the best thing to do. When you talk about it that way, I actually do have quite the life story to share, and I've really turned in kind of an open book and tell it to most people. Like, I really am an open book. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about my life and the experience that I've had, because a lot has happened in my short 39 years that I've been on the earth. And it's just, I hope that my goal is that my story would just resonate with somebody out there, that they would glean something out of it and be able to see the truth through all of the stuff that I maybe experienced or gone through, that they can see, you know, that Jesus is amazing and he can restore us from anything. So that's my hope with my story. So to start off, I was, we'll start at where I was born. I was born in a commune in, southern Missouri. The leader of the group was a lay midwife, and, he delivered all the babies there and named all the babies. And that's, I know my name sounds a little unique. That's where I got it from originally. I know now that it's actually a French surname, but we'll get into that later. Yeah, that's where I was raised. I, so it was a cult is really what it was. It was a closed group. They owned so many acres and everybody lived there. And it was very, you know, restricted. Like if you know anything about cults or communes, it lots of rules, lots of restrictions, all of it based out of fear. And that's how you keep people in a location like that is out of fear. And most of the time, also out of twisting the truth. And so they might use the Bible and use maybe something Jesus said or use, you know, scripture in a manner in which they twist it to meet the needs that they want met at, you know, the location or to get what they want. And, that's a lot of how I grew up, a twisting of scripture. And moved to a different cult. The cult split off when I was about six or so, after my brother died in a car accident, and then the leader died from natural causes, as far as I know, and left to Northwest Arkansas. They started their own cult there and commune, and you know, tried to quote unquote make it different from the other one. It'll be better, but it's all based on the exact same thing. So it's all based on lies and fear and, you know, a way to be able to keep people where you want them and obedient to their cause. And, so I had a lot of lies told to me when I was young. I had a very different mindset, a lot of fear, a lot of walking on eggshells. When I was around 6 or 7 years old, I had a terrible sexual assault that happened to me. And I didn't remember all of it for a long time. I had a lot of repressed memories from it. Anyway, went beyond, besides the physical part of that assault, I don't remember ever talking to anybody. No police were called. Nothing happened except for that I couldn't walk for 3 months. I, you know, was pretty beat up and pretty roughed up from that. But I was lied to again about, you know, how things happened and what really happened. I was told a different story my whole life about what actually happened to me. And that it was a, you know, just a child's bicycle accident, and my whole life that's what I was told. But I was told I couldn't have children. which is kind of an odd thing to tell a young woman who dreamed of having a family, dreamed of having a large family. And that was, you know, young girls have big dreams, and that was one of my big dreams, was looking forward to getting married and having a big family and just enjoying the life, right? And I was told I didn't have children, so that was kind of, you know, I didn't know how that was really going to work. When I was 18, I met my husband at a community college, and I was so thankful that the Lord put him exactly where he was, because he really came into my life. And even though he didn't know, because when you're in a cult, let me just preface this a little bit. When you're in a cult, you don't know you're in a cult. And a lot of places that might consider themselves just a commune or a compound or whatever, they're actually, I mean, it depends on, I guess, exactly what they're doing, but a lot of times it's very cultish. we're following this. We have lots of rules. We're keeping people tethered to it for some reason, or very, very strict, or very, very hushed, or secretive about how it actually runs and what goes on there and all of that kind of stuff. But that's how you're taught when you're in the cult. You're taught what's to be kept quiet and how much you're allowed to tell outsiders and all this. But you're also taught that you are doing God's work, that you know, that you must carry this mission forward, and about, you know, how important it is for you to follow the rules, for you to be in the sphere mindset, because certain things are going to get accomplished. And so when you are living in that, and that's your normal, you don't know that you're living in a cult. So I did want to encourage people around here, may not realize, but I know of at least three communes and cults here in North Texas area. And if you ever happen to come across anybody from there, please remember, they don't know that they're in a cult. And you might be the only person that speaks some truth out of love into their life. So take that opportunity if you ever have it. I'm so thankful I met my husband at community college, and we were just friends, you know, at first, but he really saw what I was coming from. Somewhat didn't realize I was in a cult necessarily in the beginning. And then just took the Bible and started, you know, showing me, you know, this is what Jesus said. This is what scripture says. You're being ruled out of fear, but Jesus preached love, you know, and he really helped bring the truth to me. And I decided to get out when I was 18, and was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life, because that was, you know, that was my whole life. I had five siblings there, and I didn't know if you left the commune, which I had experienced from other people and stuff, then you were excommunicated. You were, you know, shunned. And so much so, like if I was in a grocery store after I left and somebody from the commune saw me, they literally had to turn around and leave. They were not allowed to be in my presence afterwards, even in a large building like Walmart or something like that. If they saw that I was there too, then they left, went the other direction. And so that was kind of a big deal, because I had siblings, you know, that were there. And if I left, then that means I couldn't have any contact with them. And I would be on my own. But thankfully, my husband at the time, you know, we were dating, and he really just kept praying over me and kept, again, bringing me back to the Bible and bringing me scripture and encouraging me. And he didn't even know, I didn't even tell him when I said, when I had decided after, you know, lots of prayer, that I have to leave. I have to get out of here. And I left. I told my biological parents that I could not live there, and I was 18 and I was allowed to leave. And they said some very choice things, something that parents should never say to their child. One of them said they wish I was dead, because to them it was that big of a deal, right? They wouldn't be able to see me anymore or talk to me. But of course, that really stuck with me. And I was also told that I was the first person to leave that group there. And by leaving the group there, then I was dismantling everything that they had created. And part of what they had created and told us and you know, really ingrained into us is that we were God's chosen people, and that we were the ones who were going to accomplish his perfect mission. And that if we failed as a group, you know, if any of us failed, then humanity was lost, that we were, you know, everybody was doomed, that nobody was going to get to go to heaven because we weren't accomplishing the mission that the Lord gave us. And that's a lot to put on anybody, let alone young children, that from the time they're born, that's what you're telling them all the time, that they have to be perfect. They have to abide by all these rules and walk in this way that they've set, or humanity is lost. everybody is lost, and you're not going to heaven, and they're not going to heaven, and this whole plan is ruined, and you have just completely displeased the Lord and are, you know, the worst person ever. So that was the mindset that I had and was told when I left, that I ruined it all. So that's that was a lot, that I left and, married my husband a few months later. And, even it's really hard when you've been raised in a environment like that, and you've been, you know, so much has been ingrained into you and so much has been indoctrinated into you that you don't even realize what parts are from them and what parts are your own. So as you know, I'm a young woman married and I'm trying to decipher and figure out things and trying to really figure out, you know, who I am and what is the truth. And I really had a rough time. I mean, I'm thankful my husband who knew the Bible. And so that helped a lot because I didn't know the things that would pop into my head from, you know, different, I didn't know where they came from. I didn't know if they were scripture. I didn't know if they were from the patriarch. I didn't know if, cause he would have like quote unquote writings from the Lord that they would give us, you know, it was always to reprimand us or to, you know, make a change in what was going on there or something like that. A lot of times it was disciplining, people, and I didn't know. And they also believed in the Book of Mormon and it was, I feel like, you know, my head was so scattered because I couldn't really just be on, have solid ground, a solid foundation of what I believed and what was the truth. And it was a really hard place to be. But my husband, really, you know, graciously came along beside me and prayed for me. And with, you know, we had lots of Bible study time together, and he just really encouraged me to just read through the Bible again, completely, you know, from the beginning and try to look at it from a different perspective without all the other noise that you've had in your mind before. And, that's what I did. I went and reread the Bible, and I would have, you know, things that would come up or a thought that would come up, or they taught us a lot of songs that were, you know, ingrained into us that were having to do with their belief system. And, you know, things like that would pop into my head, and I would pause and I'd have to stop and I'd think about it. And then I'd even sometimes say out loud to my husband, "Hey, this is the thought I just had, right? You know, is that scriptural? Is that?" And he would, you know, get the Bible and say, "Oh, let's open it up and let's go see, you know, is that from the Bible or is it not?" So that was a lot of, our first several years married, there was a lot of that was happening. That was me trying to figure out some things. And it was also me trying to forget a lot of things. Trying to forget about my biological family because I wasn't allowed to see them, trying to move on, but yet I have all this history and all this in my background, and I'm not sure how to act from that place. I'm not sure how to, you know, how to move on. I'm just trying to make sense of things and trying to move forward with that. So it was kind of, I wouldn't say rocky, but I would say very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. Lots of things going on, and my mind was very, I wouldn't say distraught, but very shaken up, trying to figure out what was the truth. Just trying to figure out what was the truth.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of, I had that mindset that was ingrained to me, though, that was, this is your fault. So, you know, of course, from leaving the place, but there were so many other things that happened while I was there that this is your fault. This is your fault. This is your fault. And that fear mindset, walking on eggshells constantly, never being really sure if something you did or said, like a lot of people that are have been abused or in an abusive mind. Or in abusive homes, we'll have that where you never knew what was going to happen, right? You never knew if they were going to be calm or if they were going to explode. And I, in a different way, ours was just like that too. I never knew if I did something, if I was going to be praised for it, or if I was going to be disciplined for it. It just depended on what the patriarch decided at the moment, or what his wife decided at the moment. And it was a very anxious place to be when you're constantly walking on eggshells. And add to that, being told that, you know, humanity's chance at heaven rested on you. That's a lot of anxiety and stress.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah. Mm. And trying to remove that after you come out of that is very difficult.
Yeah. So at this point, early in your marriage, I mean, lots of maybe mental and emotional conflicts. Of course, you mentioned the trauma early on as a child and unable to walk for 3 months. From a physical standpoint, symptoms at that point in your life, was it mostly mm-hmm. this, you know, emotional and mental struggle?
Yeah. Okay. Big time. Yeah, mostly just this mental and struggle. I didn't have much physical stuff happening then. I did have in my past, but I'd repressed a lot of that. I'd pushed a lot of those memories to the side, as our body does, to protect us, especially young children. But I pushed that aside, and I was just dealing with the mental stuff. And I even remember a friend asking me if my husband was abusive because of my responses to some things. And I laughed at her, and she was like, oh, I don't know. And it was because, no, he absolutely wasn't abusive. I had abuse in my history, but he was the one that was trying to bring some light and love into it and helping me walk through that, because I did respond and act as somebody who was, you know, being abused or had been abused in the past. But it definitely was not my husband. He was bringing light and truth into my life, and it was beautiful.
Awesome. God definitely blessed you, sounds like.
Yeah, and likewise. So
I know y'all bless each other, but it's great to have a mate who points you to the truth.
Absolutely. So after that, we wanted to start a family right away. I told my husband I wouldn't ever be able to have children. And he thought that was odd. And I just told him it was from this bicycle accident that I was told I'd had my whole life. And we got pregnant though. So I was like, never mind. They didn't know what they were talking about. You know, thank the Lord. We got pregnant probably about 2 years. And we had a pretty good pregnancy, had a hospital birth, and the birth itself was pretty traumatic. Pregnancy wasn't, but the birth was really rough. And a lot of emotions came up in birth, as it does. And most women want their mothers with them, or close females with them when they're in labor. And I wanted my mother, and I called and called the commune and I kind of told her I was in labor. I guess I had some hope that, you know, that maybe this would be something that would be a connection that would help them kind of come out of where they were. And it wasn't. I told her I was having a baby, and she said, and okay, and hung up. Yeah. So That was rough. And I remember I was in my hospital room in labor, and when I had called her and hung up, and was, of course, just broke down and crying, and that reflected into all that happened in the labor. And I ended up breaking my tailbone, which had been broken before, and ended up not being able to stand up straight for a couple of months after having her, and still with a fair amount of pain. And I dealt with postpartum issues tremendously. And I'm sure now, looking back at it, a lot of that came from that emotional aspect of wanting to be cared for, you know, by what should be a loving mother, right? And wanting to have her come alongside me, and not having that, and not having much of a relationship with anybody besides my husband's and a few friends besides my husband. And I had dealt with a lot of depression that first year, a lot of, you know, postpartum hormones can get anybody anyways, right? But when you have it on top of all of that, I think it was very difficult because I had looked forward to motherhood so much. I was so excited to be a mom and so excited that even though I was still looking to have children all my life, that look, I did it. We had a baby and so excited to be this mother, but I had so much fear and anxiety and stress built up and in my body that it wasn't all this beautiful picture that I had really hoped that it would be and was looking forward to. So yeah, on top of all of that, then we got pregnant with our second pretty soon after. Decided to try to go a different route this time and reached out to a midwife and had a wonderful, beautiful home birth. And it helped tremendously, just being able to work through it better and not be so traumatized by all the things that happened to me in the hospital and not having the fear mindset and having somebody who trusted me and trusted my body. And she helped me really, you know, be able to step into myself as an adult mother. And that was a very pivotal moment for me. And then we ended up going and I didn't have any physical issues after her either. And I didn't deal with any of the postpartum stuff, again, which was wonderful. So we went on to have two more babies with her. So with this midwife, we had three babies and everything went really well. And we were doing well and things were going well. We had some stresses, as, you know, new families do, and learning how to, you know, just be a family and have these precious little ones that we're raising. And in my postpartum with Abigail, my fourth, I started having some physical symptoms though, and started having anxiety again, like I had had with my first, but it was different because it didn't happen at the beginning. It wasn't in the immediate postpartum. It wasn't in the first 5 to 6 months even. It actually was after 6 months. And so it kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't even think at all about it being postpartum related. And I started having this anxiety that I had never experienced in my life. It was consuming and I didn't know what to do about it. I had never had something like that. And at the same time, I started having these rashes come on me. So I started on my legs and then just kept spreading and kept spreading. And till like my whole body was covered in this awful rash. And I felt like I was going insane because not only did I have the anxiety that I was already experiencing, then I have this rashes that is all consuming, so itchy, so just awful. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I was trying to find, I was very holistic mindset. So very natural minded when it came to food. Made everything from scratch most of the time, made my own, you know, products, and, you know, my own lotions and toothpaste and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking, trying to find some natural remedy for this rash and the anxiety. And nothing I tried worked, and nothing worked at all. And I remember going and talking to a good friend of mine at the time, and she pointed to me in the problem, like as the problem. She said, well, I know you, like, all these home remedies should have worked. All these natural remedies should have worked. And we've all been praying for you. So the last thing I say is like, okay, what is it that you're holding on to that you're not letting go, so that the Lord will let this go because, or that the Lord will heal this because you've got something going on that's causing this. So I didn't hear, and she might have said that completely out of love, completely, and she probably did, and completely out of, hey, I'm trying to encourage you. That's not what I heard. All I heard was, this is your fault. Once again, yeah. This, your fault, you're causing this, you're making this anxiety happen, you're the reason you have these rashes and it won't go away, and you need to fix it, right?
Yeah, and that's a common, actually more common than people realize. Trying to speak something to someone from a place of love and it totally gets twisted or whatever. Especially the forgiveness thing. That can easily be twisted that it's your fault. There's someone in your past you haven't forgiven, which, I mean, maybe there is. But
maybe, yeah. And I see that now. There, you know, I see the truth in what she was saying at the time, yeah. But I couldn't hear it the yeah. way I couldn't hear the truth right then.
Yep. Madonna, I hate to break this because you're on a roll, but we're at our break, commercial break real quick. We're going to come back. You just started to develop these full body rashes, some pretty bad anxiety. Someone just tried to encourage you, but you took that as it's your fault that you're not getting well because it's something you haven't done and made right with the Lord. So when we come back from the break, we'll pick it up right there and hear the rest of the story. For everyone listening out there, this is Madonna Wingo, who's with us. She's been our patient now for the past few months, August of 2022. And it's January of 23 right now. So just a few months ago, I met Madonna. And the rest of her story is amazing. So y'all stick with us. When we get back from the break, we'll keep right on going with this testimony. Dr. Ben Edwards, you're the cure. Okay, we're back. Dr. Ben Edwards here. VeritasMedical.com is a website. That's where this show will be archived and all our other shows are archived. So y'all check that out. You can jump on there also and sign up on the under the available plans tab to talk with one of our wellness navigators and get education on how to steward your nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, the four pillars. So we encourage you to do that. Of course, the medical clinic's available. We have a little bit of a waiting list, but honestly, almost all symptoms and disease that people talk about or come to us for are rooted in diet and lifestyle, including our thinking. And those wellness navigators in the education program, they really have a lot of beneficial truth in all four of those areas, four pillars. So not that the medical clinic doesn't want to see you, but we're a little busy and overwhelmed and we'll get to you when we can. But I'm really confident many, many, many of you can get well by just walking in the truth of diet and lifestyle changes. And I know that sounds crazy because we're trained that these diseases are awful, which they are. The symptoms are awful a lot of times. But the cure is often inside of you. So y'all check that out. Get with the Wellness Navigator in our education program. We have classes every week. We'd love to walk with y'all through this. All right, Madonna, we're back at it. Thank you again for spending some time with us today. I know it's going to encourage a lot of people. Where we left it off, you were postpartum after the fourth kiddo. Full body rashes were starting to come, some anxiety, kind of severe anxiety, and you're trying to figure that out. And you're doing all your natural remedies, all in the physical realm: good diet, good beauty products, clean living, basically. Yet you were still pretty symptomatic. So let's take it from there.
Yeah. So we tried everything I can possibly think of. We tried and didn't really get anywhere. And I didn't realize the correlation at the time, but I do now. But at the same time, I was also being flooded with memories that I had repressed from back from my childhood. And I actually was so flooded with them that I didn't know what to do with them because they were so horrific. And my response could only be tears. I didn't know how else to respond to them and what to do. And I honestly was questioning myself whether they were real or not because they seemed so far fetched. I really was just struggling, with trying to make sense of them. So I ended up reaching out to my biological brother who at this time, their commune, I think may have still been going a little bit then, but they had kind of dismantled it a little bit. And so I was able to finally contact him and I had contacted him and I would just said, if you would, I would want to ask you some questions. And so I asked him about some of the memories that I had that were so awful and wanted to know if he could at least tell me if they were real or if I was making them up. And when I did that, he just broke down and was just, this grown man that just broke down in tears and told me that, yeah, that's all true. That's that those things really happened. And to me, that was actually, it helped a lot because I had been thinking maybe I was going crazy and maybe I was making these things up and I couldn't understand why I was having it. And then I realized, no, these are, when he gave me that assurance that these are real things, this is real memories that you're having, but your body is just, for some reason at this point in time, had decided to start giving me some of those memories back. Because I'd had bits and pieces that I had remembered, but it was just bits and pieces here and there, and I couldn't ever connect the dots. So it helped because then I could connect the dots better and kind of understand, but it hurt because it was really awful. It was really awful stuff. I remembered a lot of the sexual assault that I had had and some of the other things that had happened in the commune, and I couldn't do anything but cry for a while. About 2 weeks, that's all I could do is just cry. And I remember just praying and just saying, Lord, if you can just please either, if I have to like finish remembering some of this stuff just so that I can be done with it and get over it, please then give me more memories so I can be done with it. But if not, can we please just stop? Can you just take this stuff out of my mind? Help me to stop and just move forward, you know, because I felt stuck. I felt like I couldn't move forward at all. And thankfully, graciously, he let me stop. I didn't have to remember anymore at that moment. It was just kind of like a stop. Like he kind of muted those memories. I still had them, but he kind of muted them in my mind. And then I was able to move forward and wasn't stuck in that constant state of trauma. And I didn't realize at the time, I never correlated those memories with the physical symptoms that I was having. I don't know why I didn't ever correlate the two. I had a different mindset at the time. So that never happened. And so I finally sought a medical doctor to try to figure out what's going on, you know, and they put me on hydroxyzine for the rashes. And that also, hydroxyzine can help with anxiety too. So we did that. I started doing that. It's the only thing that finally worked. I finally started getting some relief from those physical symptoms. Although that made me really sleepy, and I would have to go take naps often, or half the time when I took the medicine. We finally, after so much usage of the hydroxyzine, I was finally able to get the rash completely cleared up. So I was like, yes, although I remember thinking like, really, I tried all these natural things and none of these natural things worked. And I had to go to, you know, pharmaceuticals in order to be able to get this, which that was hard for me because it's just, again, not my general, thought towards stuff. I'd usually feel like, you know, we have, you know, natural things that can fix these things. And it didn't for me. So we had to do the pharmaceutical. So after this, there was a shift. There was a shift that was happening with our family. I was learning how to embrace motherhood better. At the time, I remember I was just kind of just floating through, and I was excited to be a mom, but I didn't really understand how to fully embrace loving and caring for and raising my children and having the opportunity to raise my children up for the Lord and really you know, keeping them grounded in truth and starting them with a solid foundation that they had to grow from. And it, the Lord was showing me ways to start doing that and make some changes in our family. And, I'm really thankful for that. It was beautiful and it was wonderful and helped me a lot. I grew a lot, during that time. And then we moved across the country and, oh, I say across the country, excuse me. We moved across the state, and we moved to a new town, met some new friends, and have to make sure and mention it. And Dr. Ben, at any point in time, you're welcome to interject. You know my story. You've heard me say it a few times. If I miss something that you feel like the listeners want to hear, feel free to interject for
me. You're doing perfect.
Okay. Relaying the story, sometimes I feel like there's so much. I always joke with my husband that I'll have to write a book one day. And I'm thankful podcasts, we can talk about it. And I don't have to take the time to write it all out right now. But there's so much that I actually skip over, because if we stopped and talked about all of it, it would take a really long time. But God is good. And there's been a lot. But he brought a wonderful family into our life, the Hinkle family. And I met this woman. I just met her, Jody Hinkle. Amazing woman, loves the Lord and raising her family. And she had six beautiful children herself. I only had four at the time. And I remember, like, this was a pivotal moment for me, because she was being such a Titus II woman and coming alongside other young women and trying to just help kind of guide them and steer them, you know, and answer questions that they had. And she had invited me into her home, which, you know, it's such a beautiful thing to do to somebody you've just met, young woman with these young children. And she said something to me that really changed my life and changed the way I talk to people now too. But we often have conversations as believers. We have conversations with people and we'll ask them if they're a Christian. And if they've done studies and things across the United States, for sure, I know. And the majority, 80% of people that if you ask, are they a Christian, they say yes. But that doesn't give us a full picture of what that means. And I was so thankful for her that she didn't do that. She didn't ask that question and then go from an assumption. And then you know, our relationship be based on that. She sat down with me, loved on me, and she said, "Madonna, I would love to hear how you came to know the Lord. Tell me all about it." So that was a big moment for me, because nobody had ever asked me that before. And I really struggled with answering the question, because I knew I knew I loved the Lord, and I felt like I was a Christ follower. I felt like I'd given my life to the Lord when I was young. But I also remembered that when I got baptized, I had done it because everyone else was doing it at the commune, right? All these other people were, so for sure that I needed to do it too. And when I was trying to explain these things to her and tell her, so I realized now I was making excuses. And I was trying to explain, well, this and that. And then I'm so thankful, because she knew what other denominations believe, and she knew what other belief systems, you know, kind of the things that they pulled from. And she was able to say, "Hey, I actually know what they believe, and let's talk about that some more." And she lovingly, you know, guided me, and we talked and we talked and we talked. And it was a great moment for me to just realize that I hadn't given my life to the Lord at that point in time, but I didn't really have full understanding of what that meant or who Jesus really was. I didn't understand, because if, you know, who I was taught Jesus was this demanding, disciplinary, with all these rules that I had to follow in order to please him. And that, you know, if I didn't do that, then there was severe consequences. And that's very different than the Jesus we actually read about in the New Testament. But when you're taught that, so my relationship with him was different. I viewed him differently. And when she lovingly was showing me these things, and it just made a huge change in my life. It really, I saw him differently, and I saw my walk differently. And I asked my husband, I was like, "I know, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I truly am a believer and know the Lord, but I have this complete new view of who Christ is." And I asked my husband to baptize me, and he did. We went to the river with my kids there watching, and he baptized me, and I was starting this new walk. But it was beautiful and wonderful, but at the same time, I still have this reconciliation of where I'm trying to figure out who exactly am I. Now I understand who Christ is, but I don't know who I am really in relationship to him. And at that time I started having some anxiety issues again, but I just always still went, you know, to the pharmaceutical way, because I could never get it to go away naturally. So I started doing that some, and then we decided to move to Texas. And we moved down here to Texas, and, everything was going really well for our family. We were doing really, really great. I was doing better. I kind of skipped over, but I'd actually had several surgeries in Arkansas. I had had multiple surgeries for different issues. A lot dealing with digestion and chronic constipation that I had dealt with most of my life. I think as far back as I could remember, I dealt with severe chronic constipation. And I ended up with two surgeries for hemorrhoids and polyps, and it's been a major fistula. And then I ended up with a surgery for a double hernia repair, because obviously that is correlated to more digestion issues due to all of this chronic constipation, which I know now a lot of that stress, anxiety can definitely cause, you know, severe stomach issues and that sort of thing. But so I had these surgeries and I'd had all these different things and I'd had these physical symptoms that had happened, but then they'd gone away and then they might come back again, but then they'd gone away. And so we did this kind of back and forth. And then we were in Texas and we had this very good, things were going. I mean, it was different, a new state, trying to make some new friends, figuring out my husband switched careers and just, you know, different things happening. And, we ended up pregnant with our fifth child, which we were extremely thankful for. And everything was just going well. I ended up with a new family. Cause I told a little bit about my biological family, but, when we moved to Texas, the Lord, we really felt like the Lord brought us here for a reason. And, we didn't know exactly what that was, but we just were trying to be obedient and see where he puts us and then try to, you know, grow and learn and flourish where he puts us. And he brought these amazing, this amazing couple into our lives who really took our family, in and loved on us and really became my parents and, really, were such amazing grandparents, to our children. And so much so they became my parents that they actually legally adopted me. which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't know that you can legally adopt an adult, but you can. And they did. And they, I mean, what greater picture, you know, of Christ's love than to really take this orphan child, even though she had her own family, and, you know, bring her into your family and take her, you know, in your arms as a daughter. And that's what they have done. And they're amazing, wonderful people. You've got to meet my mom. yeah. So we're in a really good place, right? We're in this, I'm probably at the time in the safest environment I have ever felt in. These wonderful new loving parents and husband in this new career that he just knew the Lord had put him in, and it was wonderful and great. And then we have, you know, five children at this point in time that I'm homeschooling, and things are just going really well for us. And I remember I even had my schedule, like my homeschool schedule was just perfect. Like I had it all charted out, and I was probably prideful. Just to admit that it was just, you know, I got this thing, right? You know, we're homeschooling well, and I'm taking care of these children well, and my husband's flourishing in his career, and, you know, all these things. And then everything kind of went wild. that's the best way that I can say it. I came up to Arkansas for a visit, which we did back and forth at different times, but my husband's great uncle had passed away, and he had been our pastor for quite some time. He'd married my husband and I, we had very close connection, with this man. And I had promised him that at his funeral, I would sing for him. And so the children and I had gone up there for his funeral. My husband couldn't make it. And, while we were staying up there a couple of days, I had got this tick bite. And I remember it very well, even though I'm from Arkansas. Anybody, you know, especially Northwest Arkansas, I mean, you get tick bites all the time. That's not something that I ever thought anything about. In fact, when I worked for the Park Service when I was in college, they had us chart all of our tick bites. And we thought it was ridiculous because we had so many tick bites all the time that why in the world would we ever chart our tick bites, you know? And we, most of the time, we just pushed it aside and didn't even actually do it for work. And so we didn't, growing up in that mindset of getting tick bites all the time, I never thought a thing of it. I got this big tick bite. Oh, well, threw the tick, you know, in the trash or in down the toilet and didn't think another thing about it. Well, the next day at the funeral, I started feeling awful. I mean, absolutely awful, terrible. And didn't even know if I was going to be able to sing at the gravesite. And I just felt just awful. I felt dizzy and faint and flushed and swollen and like I might pass out. And I just had all these very real, very, very physical symptoms happening. But I didn't know what to do with them because I'd never felt like that before. This was different than the things that I had felt in the past. I just knew that I felt awful. And I made it through the funeral. And then afterwards, I just felt like I needed to get home. I packed up my kids. We headed home. I kind of got better for a little while. And then I got really bad when I got down the road, a few hours down the road. And now looking back, I should have went to the hospital. But I didn't because I thought I was going to pass out driving down the road. So I happened to be a few miles from my friend Jody that I had mentioned from her house. And I called her up and said, I need to come. And she said, come on, you know. And so I went to her house and rested. She gave me some medicine, but I don't even remember because it's such a blur what she gave me, what we thought to do at the time. I just knew like I couldn't even like I remember not even being able to like unbuckle my children. I just barely made it out of the car and laid down on her couch. I just felt so awful. And it was hard to describe besides the fact that I did feel like puffy and kind of swollen. I felt like my stomach, like something was wrong with my stomach. And it was really upset. And I kept feeling like I was going to pass out. And I just didn't know what to do with it, you know? So I slept it off. Next morning, I'm like, I feel good enough. I need to drive home. I've got 8 more hours to drive. I need to get home. So I packed up my kids, drove home, and I was like, okay, we're forgetting that. I don't know what that was, but we're going to forget it. So I tried to. We came home. It was mid-September, and I was like, we're fine. We're fine. I felt like I was having stomach issues, but it would be okay. You know, I dealt with chronic constipation all my life, so I'm like, stomach issues, you know. They seem a little worse than normal, but it'll be fine. So then we, October 1st, I had went to go grocery shopping with my daughter, had a grocery, well, I had a van full, a month's worth of groceries for my whole family, because I did monthly grocery shopping at the time in our van, and I had our son in there. He had just turned a year old. He was barely a year old, and I had one of my daughters with me, and I was driving down the road, and I had felt like a mosquito got trapped into my pants. I was like, I don't know, something's going on. I feel like a mosquito's in my pants. I don't know what's happening. And then I remember like being so terribly itchy and crazy, like on fire. I remember my daughter from the back seat, she hollered, "Your face, Mom." And I'm like, what? And I look in the rearview mirror and my face is exploding. it came up my neck. And I looked in my shirt up and I had these huge welts all over my body. And it was growing up my neck onto my face. And it was just like my body was exploding in these huge hives and welts. And I remember I felt like absolutely awful. And I was like, what is happening? So I called my husband and I said, we're coming home. I want you to I think I'm having an allergic reaction. Get some vinegar ready for me. I'm going to down it and jump in a cold shower when I get home. Cause I was like, I don't know what to do. Which is not the smartest thing I will say right away. If anybody's ever experiencing, I was experiencing anaphylaxis is what was starting to happen. But I didn't know that. And I should have went to the nearest ER is what I should have done. But I didn't do that. I had lavender oil with me. I remember. And I was like, lavender is like an antihistamine, isn't it? I'm putting it. And so I remember like dousing the lavender in my mouth thinking like, come on, you got this, you know? And I had called my mom when we got home and I had downed a bunch of Benadryl and I'm swollen. My body is swelling way up. And my mom was like a couple minutes from my house and she ran over and I said, look at me. And she's like, my mom was a nurse for 38 years and she's like, we're going to the ER. So I, I jumped in the car with her, and the whole time she keeps asking me, like, can you breathe? Can you breathe? You know, I can't. How's your throat feel? How's your throat? Because she knows, like, I'm exploding. Like, this is a severe allergic reaction. She's expecting that my throat's going to close up any moment. So we get to the ER, and it's awful. And this starts, like, this was, I don't even remember part of it. I just remember that I scared the ER doctor because he had came in and checked on me. They give me a bunch of meds, and they were working on me. And then he had left, and he came back expecting me to be better, but I was worse. And, like, I don't know how I looked, but I remember he yelled and jumped backwards. So I figured I was swollen pretty bad. So this led into a big, huge, pivotal moment in my life that ends up me in and out and in and out, in and out of the hospital. I start just having these severe allergic reactions. And I don't know what's causing them, and I don't know what's going on. And I just keep having to go back to the ER. And they, you know, I end up getting an EpiPen. We end up trying to do different, you know, meds. We're back and forth. I was in and out of the ER. I don't even know how many times. I was ambulanced once and ended up staying for 3 days. And they told me then, we don't know what's causing this, but you need to check into it more. We checked into it. We couldn't figure out. I'd end up back in the ER again. The ER doctors finally got to where they decided that, I think what they decided was that I knew I was severely allergic to something and I was intentionally taking it. And that's the only place I can think that they might have decided, because they decided to start telling me that this, well, what I heard was, this is your fault again. Mm-hmm. They started saying that they thought this had a mental component to it and that maybe I was just mentally unstable. And they numerous times called me crazy, numerous times would just treat me awful. I mean, my husband was with me, or my mom was with me each time, and they both can, you know, give stories of how they treated me that shocked them both in the hospital, because they thought I don't know exactly what they thought, except for maybe I was seeking drugs, which didn't make a lot of sense in the situation, or maybe I was seeking attention. And it was bad. I was in such a state of just trauma and emergency response to everything. So then we've been praying and we'd been asking, we started spreading the word to everybody and just saying, hey, these are my symptoms. This is what's going on. We can't figure out what's wrong. Anybody have any ideas? Please tell us. Right. And, I remember the day I was in the car driving to go close on a house, because we had found, I guess I forgot that part. Somebody had told us that they thought maybe toxic mold might be the problem. And so we looked, we were living in an apartment, we were working on getting that free, and we had moved into this older apartment. And so we had started looking. I said, okay, let's look. These could be some symptoms from toxic mold syndrome. So let's see. So we started investigating in our house, and we found mold. We found big time mold in our bedroom, in the wall, in our bedroom, and in our bathroom. And we sent it off to get tested. And yes, it came back like severe, worse than black mold. And we're like, okay, this might could be the issue. But then at the same time, like, so we moved. We went and we were going to close on this house. We moved out real quick. We bought a house just so we could get out a new build, so we wouldn't have any chance of mold. And I had two friends call me within 20 minutes of each other. They both lived across the country from each other. And they both said the exact same thing. Hey, I heard about this tick disease. Have you had a tick bite in the last couple of months? This could be alpha-gal. And I thought that was crazy. This sounds like a superhero or something. I didn't know. I was like, this sounds wild. This could not be what I have, really. And when I got the second call 20 minutes later from that other friend, and she said the same thing, I went, whoa, okay, Lord, we've been asking for answers. Maybe this is an answer. And I called my doctor immediately and told her about it. She had never heard about it before. It's a delayed anaphylaxis to mammal product. Some people call it the mammalian meat allergy. And I told her it was a simple blood test. She looked it up, called me back, said, hey, come in to the lab right now. We'll get you tested for it. And then I did, and I tested like through the roof for it. It was pretty wild, and we were like, oh, this is the problem. Okay, we can fix this, surely. So if I don't eat any mammal anymore, I should get better. Okay. But that's not what happened.
There, perfect. That's going to leave people on the edge of their seats. We're up against, I'm sorry, Madonna, we're up against our end of the show. We're definitely going to do part two, though, because this is getting to the good part. So mammalian protein allergy, if you're exposed to mammalian protein, you go into anaphylaxis. That's wild and crazy. And I'd actually not heard of that either. I mean, I had by the time you'd seen me, but it's a little while back, a year or two, another patient similar or had emailed our clinic, actually, and I had to go look that up. So I was familiar with it by the time you came, but it is pretty wild.
The challenging part, I think, was that it's a delayed anaphylaxis. Yeah. It happens when your body's trying to digest.
Yeah.
And that can be different for everybody of that time frame. And that makes it very difficult to diagnose.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We're definitely going to have you back. We'll do part two. We're going to get all the way to where you are healed. So thank you so much for joining us today. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry we didn't have enough time for all of it, but y'all out there in the listenership, y'all come back. I think it's going to have to be not next week, but the next. We've got another guest scheduled already for next week, but come back in 2 weeks and we'll have Madon's part two for you. So Madon, thank you so much for being with us today. We sure have enjoyed your story. What a story. Amazing story. All right, everybody. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards with You're the Cure. VeritasMedical.com is a website. You can go check out this show and all our other shows are archived there. And we'll see y'all next week.